SOP228, we've got some feedback from last week's show. We're going to talk about some equipment suggestions and another reason why WordPress is the best.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
All right, podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, thanking you so much for tuning in to the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. This is where we talk about all things podcasting. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments toll free, 888-563-3228. And everything we talk about, you can find out in our show notes at shownotes.schoolofpodcasting.com. Well, today I'm not going to beat around the bush. We've got a quick note here, and it is from Randy. It says, "Hey, Dave. Hello, Dave. My name is Randy Harkness, and I live in Downsville, Georgia. I've listened to Logical Weight Loss for over a year now, and I found your School of Podcasting about 6 months ago. I wanted to produce a podcast for a couple of years now, but didn't know what to do or how to get started. Well, the SOP is a great place, buddy. Your SOP is great for us low-budget podcasters. Absolutely. I've looked at ePodcast Creator. Is it a good program? Hard to use. If not, would the Sony Acid that you spoke about earlier in the podcast be a better choice? The podcast I want to make is similar to DestinFloridaPodcast.com. But info about the North Georgia area, any help and suggestions would be greatly appreciated." Well, first of all, Randy, thank you so much for your email. I deeply appreciate it. I've actually already emailed Randy when he first sent this in. And the funny thing was, when the School of Podcasting first launched back in the day, ePodcast Creator was one of the few programs around that actually let you create a podcast, and it's kind of an all-encompassing one. I can't remember if it actually creates the RSS feed. I know for a while there were a few titles that came out. And in a nutshell, I do not recommend ePodcast Creator. I actually used to have some tutorials at the School of Podcasting, but I just took them down because they're just better options, like either Audacity. I'm also, like I said, a big fan of the Sony Acid program. And if you even buy that version, it's only, well, I shouldn't say only, because $55 to one person is $1 million to another. But compared to some of the other programs like Adobe Audition and things like that, it's definitely much more affordable. And what's cool is you can actually test the free version. And if you like that and want to go a little more, you can buy that then. But yeah, not a big fan of that program. It actually had multiple windows, and it was a little bit like Adobe Audition, where you had part of it was like a file editor where you could edit out ums and you knows and things like that. And the other end of it was a multi-track recorder mixer kind of area, except it wasn't quite as nice as Adobe Audition. And so, yeah, I definitely wouldn't do that. And somebody else had asked me once a long time ago, and I had emailed them the answer, and I really hadn't talked about it on the program, but since we're talking about old software, anything that creates an RSS on its own, and one of the more well-known ones is Feed4All. And it is a program that creates an RSS feed. And one of the things that, when I first started, was I used Feed4All because I was creating my website through a program called Dreamweaver. So I had basically an HTML site, and then I used Feed4All for my RSS feed. And I used FeedBurner, a lot of feed going on here, for my iTunes tagging. The problem was, is when I would then update my website, I would then have to update Feed4All, and it was just double the work. It's kind of a pain in the rear end. And that's one of the things why I recommend WordPress. WordPress you can use for your website. It's a very robust but yet easy to use system. I always tell people, if you can send an email and attach, let's say, a photo, then you have the skills to podcast. Because all podcasting is, it's a little file management, which you've proven you can do by attaching that photo to the email, and it's some typing. That's the only geeky skills you need to create a podcast. And WordPress enables you to basically log into a website, which is your website, and you type a little bit, you upload a file, you hit save and publish, and off you go. You have a podcast. And the great thing about it is, I mentioned last week, the Andy White interview, the podcast advisor. I've mentioned this in this podcast before, that RSS is the one area that people really get hung up on. And I always say, you know, I don't understand how my car engine actually works in terms of combustion and gas and air mixtures and things like that. I just know that when I turn the key, it starts. And likewise, so when you have a WordPress site, you already have an RSS feed. It just creates it automatically. And I always use the analogy that it's like popcorn. When you make popcorn, you get the aroma of popcorn. And when you have a WordPress site, you just get an RSS feed, whether you want one or not. So it's very easy then. You don't have to make your RSS feed separate. That would be the only time ever you would want to use something like Feed4All, would be if you had somebody with a website and maybe they were doing it in some sort of program that didn't have an RSS feed. They needed to add one. They didn't want to switch everything to WordPress. Why would I use Feed4All? That would be the example of that. So yeah, I would say no to ePodcast Creator. Sorry, whoever makes that program, not my favorite. And I would use something like, I said, Sony Acid. You can use Audacity. If you're on a Mac, you can use Audacity as well. You can use GarageBand. All those are free. And for other equipment suggestions, you can just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/equipment. All right, well, last week I talked about how I tweaked and retweaked and double tweaked and triple tweaked my sound, and I was playing with Adobe Audition. I just started using it. Not really sure if I mean, it does some cool things, but I really like the Sony program because Audition has so much going on that it's kind of like having a Corvette in Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, where are you going to drive it fast around here? All the streets have potholes. And so having all the power of Adobe Audition, sometimes I go, do I really need all these bells and whistles? And we got a great comment from Rich Palmer. So here is Rich's take on last week's show on overtweaking your sound. And I'll put a link to that out in the show notes if you missed last week's episode. Here is Rich.
Hi, Dave. Rich Palmer here, audiogumshoe.com and richpalmer.com. Just listening to your episode about the sound and how you possibly over-edited. And I've got to tell you that I did feel it was over-processed as well. As a matter of fact, the samples that you gave when you did your coupon code, the first recording, the raw recording, sounded the best of all of those recordings, other than the fact that the gain was low. So I would say maybe just a little compression on that original one and leave everything else alone. Many times in the show over the years, you've mentioned at one point or another that there was something happening in the background. There was background noise, and oh, you could probably hear this or you could hear that. And I've got to tell you, every time you've said that, I've listened, and I've gone back and actually listened with headphones. I've listened with the volume turned up. I can't normally hear that noise that you're saying, oh, this is happening. So just bringing it to attention possibly isn't even necessary because we're not picking it up. I use a slight amount of noise gate in my recordings, and there have been many times, even the last episode of my show that I produced, that I wasn't happy with the overall quality of the recording, and it just seems like the variables in the room change or something happens, and I'm my own worst critic. But I use just a little bit of noise gate because if I use too much, then it clips off the beginning, or you don't hear those breaths normally, or you hear a chopped off breath, and it's just very unnatural. So I think people like to hear a little bit of breathing. You know, when you inhale to say the next word, that's a normal activity. But to use your noise filter as an extreme filter across the entire file, I don't know if that's the best option as well. I would say your best option was the original recording that you shared with that coupon code, with maybe a little bit of compression just to boost the gain and level it just a little bit to give it some life, but not to overprocess it. And, you know, again, I mean, the show is phenomenal, but I have noticed lately on a few of your shows where it just sounded very unnatural and almost robotic, and sometimes it even sounded like it was being clipped. Another thing that I've always heard in the past about EQ is the basic premise of EQ, and you know this as a musician, I'm sure, but the basic premise of EQ is to cut the frequencies that you don't want and to, you know, to use very little boost, because very often you're boosting beyond what you think you're hearing. So a basic rule of EQ for me is to cut frequencies that appear to be troublesome frequencies without applying a lot of boost or gain. If I have to do that, there's something happening in the signal chain at the beginning that I could have corrected before I even recorded. Just my two cents. And, you know, appreciate the show as always. I've always appreciated the show. Again, this is your buddy Rich, richpalmer.com, and also audiogumshoe.com. Have a great day, my friend.
We also got a comment out of the blog from Gene Murray. He says, I like your new old sound as good as National Public Radio. Less is more. So while I kept tweaking more and more and more, I kind of ended up messing things up. So I've really backed things off. And it's kind of funny. Part of it is that it depends, I guess, on what you're listening to, things like that. I know there are certain other podcast consultants like Cliff Ravenscraft, another Ohio, well, actually he's in Kentucky, but another good guy over at the podcast Answer Man. He is a self-professed audio snob. He is all about getting this pristine broadcast tile, and maybe I was influenced by Cliff, I'm not really sure, but I am kind of like Rich. I always listen to my podcast in the car, so any background noise is completely absorbed by just the sound of my car. And I do listen in headphones occasionally, but usually, again, that's when I'm walking the dog. I rarely am sitting in a quiet room with a pair of headphones, so usually background noise doesn't bug me, but when I'm recording, this is the one time I have headphones on and things are quiet. It's when I'm recording. So I guess that's when I hear it. And basically, Rich is saying, dude, chill. It's not that bad. So thanks to Gene for the comment. Thanks for Rich for phoning it in. I deeply appreciate it. As always, you can contact me. My email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Don't forget that you can sign up at the School of Podcasting. We've got step-by-step tutorials. We have resources. So if you're looking for background music, if you're looking for graphics, if you're looking for ways to sell your podcast, to monetize, to publicize, all that is out at the schoolofpodcasting.com. Now, during the month of August, use the coupon code BTS. That's back to school, BTS. And get a discount on your subscription at theschoolofpodcasting.com. And you can also call in your comments courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. It's 888-563-3228. So when you're looking to start a podcast fast, when you're looking for great support, when you're looking to podcast easy, check it out at theschoolofpodcasting.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I deeply, deeply appreciate it. And until next week, class is dismissed.